I'd like now to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Marielle Nanasi. She is Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me, Mary Charlotte.
So we have an ongoing conversation about what's happening with New Mexico's energy. There was a big Public Regulation Commission event, a big hearing during the month of January, at which New Energy Economy took part along with many other organizations and government officials about the future of energy in New Mexico. What was that all about and what happened?
So your listeners would probably remember that the EPA came and said to PNM that the San Juan coal plant, which is one of the dirtiest and largest coal plants in the United States, was not meeting clean air standards and that they had to meet those standards and required pollution controls. PNM said, oh, their first response was to basically say, really, we don't really want to comply. And then the EPA said, well, you have to. And so after years of obstruction, PNM finally agreed not to put in those pollution controls, but an outcome that I think is actually even better, which is to close half the coal plant. And we supported that decision. And then the question is, what will the replacement power be? And the fact is that the Obama administration has really targeted coal. Why? Because coal is the single greatest driver of climate change. We only use coal to produce our electricity for 35% of our energy, but it constitutes 75% of the global warming pollution. So it's really serious that we close coal because that will have an enormous impact. And that's how I got into doing this work, which is I said, God, there's plenty of other ways for us to produce electricity. Why should we have coal when it causes all these not only climate changes, but also serious local health impacts? So that's what the case was about, was, okay, if we abandon half the coal plant, what is the replacement power? And PNM came up with a power plan that was basically this: buy more coal from other owners in the San Juan coal plant who are fleeing. So those are mostly the California utilities, but there's Tri-State who's also leaving the San Juan plant.
Now, just to break in for a moment, how would that satisfy the EPA?
Well, the thing is that they're still closing half the coal plant, but there's excess shares that nobody wants. They are leaving and said, we don't want to be in this partnership agreement. We're done here for a whole host of reasons. And PNM tried to sell it because PNM is the owner and the operator. They only own about half the coal plant, though. And so when these excess shares became available, they were trying to sell them. In fact, California was giving them away at $0. And they can't find anybody to buy it. So first Utah said, oh, we'll buy some of those shares. And then when they found out all the problems in San Juan, they said, you know what, we don't want those shares, actually. So PNM said, well, we'll take some. We'll take some of those shares. And that's why they applied to buy more coal for New Mexico ratepayers, because no one else would have these shares, and they didn't know how, frankly. This is what we learned in the case, which was the whole purpose of this is that PNM is supposed to pick the best energy resources to meet public demand. But in fact, why they chose to buy more coal, I don't actually think they wanted to buy it. They couldn't find anybody else to buy it. And so therefore, they said, oh, well, we'll absorb those excess shares.
But wait a minute. What's a share? I mean, we're talking about somebody is somewhere burning coal, boiling water, and that water makes energy. Can you bring it back to that?
Yeah. Well, let's say you and I decide that we're going to go buy a car together. So we own the car half-half. You put in whatever, $5,000, and I put in $5,000, and we decide on an agreement. And we say, okay, we will own this car together for the next 5 years, and we're going to split it. And then I realize, you know what, this car is terrible. It's costing me tons of money. It's a gas guzzler, and it's not really reliable. You know what? I want to get out of this deal.
So are you talking about PNM replacing energy that is generated at San Juan with energy that's generated at San Juan?
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Then how would that in any way, shape, or form satisfy the EPA that came and said you can't generate so much dirty coal at San Juan?
Because they're closing half the coal plant. But the rest of the coal plant, the remaining, people want to get out of those remaining units. And so PNM has basically not been able to sell those shares on the open market. Nobody will have them.
But I mean, where was that energy going before? Was it not going to New Mexican homes and businesses?
No, it wasn't. It was going to Arizona and California.
Ah, so we're talking about keeping that energy in state and continuing to burn coal in half of that. Okay, got it.
So what happened was, is that the other part of the replacement power plan that PNM is putting forth before the PRC is nuclear. Now, PNM already owns nuclear in Arizona. And the fact of the matter is that they own three reactors. Two of those reactors are what's called in rate base. That means we get 60% of our energy from coal, 20% from nuclear, about 14% from gas, 5% from wind, and 1% from solar. And they own this third reactor, but they're losing money on that third reactor. Why? Because it costs them more money to generate nuclear-generated electricity than they can sell it for on the open market. Why? Because solar, wind, and gas are cheaper than the most expensive, which is nuclear. So they're like, we're losing money, and we want to bring it into rate base, because not only when we bring it into rate base will we get what's called cost recovery, all what it costs them to produce it, but then they get a return on equity on top of that of 11.4%. So they're like, of all the best energy resources out there, we will bring in our own nuclear that we're losing money on and unwanted coal shares from California. That California is just saying, like, see you later, I don't want these anymore. Basically to comply with something called the Global Warming Solutions Act in California.
And you can see it from their perspective. You can see that would be, you can't call it clean because it's anything but clean, but that would, from a purely business perspective, make some sense. Does it for them?
Well, the thing is, people should understand that this is a $7 billion indebtedness that PNM is asking the PRC to commit ratepayers to for the next 20 years.
So wait a minute. We're paying, who's making a debt to whom?
What PNM is asking is to buy these, what I call toxic assets, and I'd like to talk about that, and say, hey, look, for the next 20 years, we want you to pay us $7.5 billion, and then we'll produce energy for you. And that means that we will, whatever it costs us to run those plants, and at minimum, it's $7.5 billion. And I would argue that it's an economic nightmare and a potential financial crisis, because those assets, PNM has underestimated the cost of actually what the risk is, because it's not only the price tag now, it's the risk going forward and the risk of more pollution controls, the risk of operation and maintenance of two very old plants. The coal plant is 40 years old and the nuclear plant is 27 years old. And who out there would want to buy old assets when you can have brand new solar and wind that don't have any fuel costs, for instance, that are associated with them? The reason I say toxic assets is that toxic assets, that phrase was coined in 2008 when there was a financial crisis. And what was that financial crisis about? It was about that the mortgages on homes were valued at more than the actual worth of the home. And so they became what's called toxic assets because there were massive losses. Now, people went bankrupt, people lost their homes, investors lost their money, like their whole life savings. And what happened at that moment was it catalyzed the greatest economic divide in US history. And the 1% got richer, and a whole lot of people lost their homes, lost their savings, and lost their investments, and people went bankrupt. that's what we're seeing right now, which is that in PNM, no one, especially the other utilities who are co-owners with PNM, will take those California assets, coal shares, for free. They won't even take them. And California is willing to pay them to take them, and nobody would buy them. And so PNM's like, oh, we got an idea. We'll buy them for our ratepayers. And that is exactly the same kind of thing. We know that the market has literally fallen from coal share ownership. And yet PNM wants to stick us with it. And as a matter of fact, during this hearing, Wall Street downgraded PNM stock. Why? For exactly this reason. They said, we do not believe that there would be any other third party that would be willing to invest in this plant. And in fact, that's why some of the other co-owners, Utah, initially said that they might be interested in buying it, wouldn't take it for free. And Farmington, the city of Farmington, in the first week of January, announced the same thing. We don't want to acquire any more shares in San Juan. Why? And they put, this is in writing, they said that the plant is unreliable and that there are alternate generation resources that are available that make more sense.
Let's go there.
I just want to say one thing, if I could, about its unreliability. PNM's own numbers say that the San Juan coal plant is only reliable 75% of the time. So in addition to it being old and having fuel problems and the other things that we just discussed, it only runs 75% of the time. So could you imagine selling a car to somebody and saying, it's free, it has liabilities associated with it, and it only runs 3/4 of the time. Do you want it? He would say, no, I think not.
And what are my alternatives?
So what we showed, I think, in this case, which we'll see how convincing it is, but we believe that it was unimpeached testimony, was that there are alternatives, solar and wind alternatives. And that is what the states around us, Colorado and Arizona and Nevada and Texas, are choosing. They're choosing solar and wind with gas to augment. And we put forward an expert from Colorado, a former Colorado Public Utility Commissioner, who testified that what's so amazing about adding renewables to the system is that they've done it not only successfully with less emissions and water savings, but also it was cheaper for ratepayers. That actually, in real life, wind has displaced gas. They hadn't had to turn on the gas plants when they thought they might have, but they had them ready. But they didn't need to, because the wind and solar created enough energy to meet customer demand. And that's amazing.
One of the things that I think is important to understand here is that the plan, if I understand it correctly, that PNM is talking about, while it's risky, puts that risk not on the corporation, but on the bill payers.
Correct. I mean, that's what I think is really the nugget in this, out of all of this, which is, this is the shareholders, PNM shareholders, shifting the burden that they have from them to ratepayers. And that is not only of this $7 billion price tag, but it's all of the risk going forward. And that includes environmental legacy liabilities. It includes what's called decommissioning, which is like an Orwellian term that supposedly means the cleanup of both San Juan and the Palo Verde nuclear plant, which means they're supposed to make it radioactive free. Just so you can even, I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around, but one of the plants that they just closed down last year in California, it's called San Onofre. Just one of the plants has their current estimate for decommissioning, just that one plant alone, is $5 billion. And of course, they can't just like make the ratepayers pay that all at once, because then people would go bankrupt and, you know, just be enormous electric rates. So they've now decommissioned it over a 40-year period just for that one plant. And so why would we want to take on that risk when there's no risk with solar and wind? And again, experience by our neighbors prove that it's feasible.
And so why don't they want to do that?
They don't want to do it because PNM would be stuck itself with having to deal with San Juan and Palo Verde. And they're like, oh, we don't want that deal. So they're trying.
Because they already have them?
Yeah, they do. Yes.
So basically, okay, here's my understanding. This is seems maybe more complicated to me than it does to others. But they own these assets. Nobody else will buy them. So they want to sell them to New Mexicans.
Correct.
And have New Mexicans take whatever risks are associated with them and have it off, have that risk off their hands.
That's right.
Okay.
And you know what? I mean, not only was that so well put, it is exactly, if you go back to my analogy of toxic assets, that's what happened there, right? The 1% got richer. So who are the PNM shareholders? They're the richest of the rich, right? And then who gets to pay? It's basically internalizing short-term profit and externalizing the risk onto the public.
Which is, as we've talked about over the last few days on this show, a real corporate profit strategy across the board, including in the fossil fuels industry and the energy industry. So what are the alternatives? What was the outcome of this hearing? What happens next?
So one of the things that I was very pleased that the hearing examiner asked us to brief, and that's what we had to do, and we just turned in our briefs. So there was a brief, and then there was a reply brief. One of the things that the hearing examiner asked, and I was very encouraged by this question that he asked us to specifically brief. I mean, the questions that we've just been discussing were in those briefs. So should the PRC approve PNM's request for more coal and request for more nuclear? That's the heart of the brief. But then he asked this other question, and he said, does the commission have the authority to require PNM to issue an all resource request for proposals for replacement power? So it goes to your very simple question of, wait a second, do we want old and expensive and dirty coal and nuclear that has tons of risk and associated liabilities? Or should we put it out there and say, hey, let's all bid. Let's have this a market and say, look, we need 420 megawatts of replacement power. Come in with your best bid. What can you offer? So coal could apply and nuclear could apply, but then so could solar and so could wind and so could gas. And whatever would be evaluated and vetted on a comparable and consistent basis by an independent evaluator would be the result for New Mexicans. And that is a very, very exciting prospect. And we argued in our briefs, of course, that the commission not only did they have the right to do it, but that they had the obligation to New Mexicans under the Public Utility Act to protect the general welfare, health, and finances going forward.
If they did that, if they said, okay, it's our duty to bring clean power and a good energy future, whatever, to New Mexico, what do they do with their toxic assets? They just shut them down, write them off? What happens?
Well, that's a very good question. And I think that's what PNM is like, putting their head under the sand, or, you know, that's what they don't want to face, is really what's going to happen with the toxic assets, literally. And I say, let's stop the burning now. Let's close them. It's going to be hellish to deal with the environmental liabilities. And it potentially, and maybe this is why, is that it potentially could force PNM to go into bankruptcy because they've so mismanaged their assets. And they, in essence, they just want to push it down so, you know, down the line so somebody else will take care of it. They're afraid to face the music. I don't, you know. So they just want to like pretend that the world hasn't changed and that there's not solar and wind that's available to produce energy in a clean way. So they want to bring these assets into rate base to make sure that we are ultimately responsible for them.
But I mean, they can't write it off and get take it off the line of their taxes or something?
Well, I think that they're going to have to because, you know, one of the questions that I think has been raised by this whole issue of the toxic assets in our brief is, well, what happens to the PNM shares that they already own in the remaining units? They have it right now on their books that it's worth $360 million. So their PNM's own accounting says that their remaining shares are currently worth $360 million. And we know that the market says that they're worth zero. So how do you square those? And I mean, these are very difficult questions. And this reminds me of Enron. I mean, this is what kind of thing happened. Selling stuff that was worthless at an enormous markup and screwing the public in the meanwhile.
So what happens next?
So what happens next is that the hearing examiner will write his recommended decision. And then we get to write exceptions to that recommended decision. And then that will be presented to the PRC. And the PRC then can accept the recommended decision. It can reject the recommended decision, or it can try to formulate some kind of settlement with PNM and the other parties. So that will be, I mean, we would love for all your listeners to attend that. I don't know what the date is yet because we don't have a recommended decision from the hearing examiner, though it could happen any day. And so we should be knowing what the resolution of this decision is probably in April. But that's just a guess.
What is the PRC's stated role? And in your view, how are they living up to that role?
Well, the PRC stands for Public Regulation Commission. Their job is to regulate the monopoly, the electric monopoly. There are three investor-owned regulated monopolies in New Mexico, PNM being the largest and having a customer base of nearly 500,000 people. And so their job is to review and assess and vet this kind of plan, this kind of replacement plan. And then, you know, I'm sure many people know that PNM just filed a new rate increase. So PNM's rates have increased since 2008 by 41% for the average residential ratepayer. And they're asking for basically another 20% from residential ratepayers. PNM has a really good PR spin, and they say that they love solar so much, but meanwhile, they only have 1%, and the rates that have increased have been not due to renewables because there's no renewables in their portfolio. It's been because of all of these kinds of expensive liabilities from coal and nuclear.
So they're basically between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, they've had some very poor planning, and there has been very little oversight in the past, and we intervened, and we've made a big deal, and we dug, and I like to call my partner, David Van Winkle, who's been just an amazing expert in the case, a truth digger. He has read every single piece of their 10,000-page filings. It's an amazing amount of and they try to bury most people. And frankly, a lot of the traditional interveners didn't have the wherewithal or the time or the expertise to look into it. And it's really, we all are in debt to David for his hard work and his meticulousness. And he's a financial and energy expert and was virtually unimpeached on the stand for 6 hours. He was the last person to testify in the hearing and did a remarkable job.
It's just about time to go. Is there anything that you want our listeners to know or anything that people can do to make their opinion on this known?
I think one important thing is, you know, these PRC commissioners are elected and it's kind of wonky and nobody would have ever told me that I'd be up at night to the wee hours in the morning studying the financial positions of PNM. But this is a really important thing. This is about our climate. This is about our environment. This is about our health. And this is about our financial future. If this decision is improperly made, we intend to go to the New Mexico Supreme Court. And we believe that any decision but the decision to require PNM to go back to their drawing board and ask for an all resource request for proposals to let them and have an independent evaluator vet that is basically arbitrary and capricious and against the public interest. We don't believe that PNM's plan is the most cost effective. And so we need people, power, to come out and say, let your commissioners know what you think about it. Karen Montoya in Albuquerque and Valerie Espinoza in the Santa Fe, Northern New Mexico region. There's a number of other PRC commissioners. Let them know what you think about this. And if you can, you can come to newenergyeconomy.org's website. That's our website, newenergyeconomy.org. And we will be letting people know when that open hearing is, when the hearing examiner presents his recommended decision to the PRC.
Marielle Nanasi is Executive Director of New Energy Economy. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Appreciate it.